For our meditation this evening, let's read from the first epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4. 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May God bless the reading of his word. And let typically we want to engage in things that are profitable, things that will add value. So we're judicious with those activities that we spend our time in. Does that activity add profit? Is it profitable if I spend my time doing that activity? We look to be careful with our money, and we want to make sure that if we're going to spend money on something or invest money into something, we want to make sure that it's profitable. So we are careful how we manage our money would be profitable and not wasteful. We are careful that our relationships would be those that would be profitable. We want to be with those who are godly, and if there are those who are ungodly and will not accept the truth, we want to limit the time that we would spend with developing relationships, knowing that it would be unprofitable, and perhaps some of their bad habits may rub off on us. And so we are careful that in how we do things, that we want to make that to be profitable. But here we read in verse number 8 that it says godliness is profitable in all things. If we exercise ourselves in godliness, that is profitable in all things. The Scripture speaks to this, and if the Scriptures speak this truth, then truly it is profitable. That if we exercise ourselves in godliness, it's profitable unto all things. Whatever it is that we engage in, if we're doing it in a godly way, with godliness, it's profitable. And then it says, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So when we engage in activity, and how we spend our time, and how we spend our resources, and how we live life, if we do that in a godly way, it's profitable unto all things, in this life and in the life to come. There is no waste. when we do things that are godly. Perhaps we might not see the value immediately, but ultimately we will see the value. And there will be value when we exercise ourselves in godliness. Thank God that in his scriptures we have many examples of those who are godly, and we can follow that godly example, that we can do that which is profitable. Think of a few kings that, you know, you read the story of a king, and it says in the very beginning, and he did that which was right, or he did that which was evil. But there was a king, his name was Asa, and the Bible says that he did that which was right. And what he did was he expelled idolatry out of the land, and he brought back in worship. He expelled idolatry. He got rid of all the idolatry that was in the land. And one thing that he did that in specifically, as he was a godly man who exercised himself in godliness, and it was profitable then for Israel, was that he removed his own mother from being queen because she practiced idolatry. And he took the idol that she had, and he took it by the brook Kidron, and he burned it there to rid the land of idolatry. And then it says there that he served the Lord with a perfect heart. He was a godly man, and Israel blossomed and bloomed underneath his kingship. We think of Job, a godly man, one who was perfect, the Bible says, and upright, feared God, and eschewed evil. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He feared the Lord. He served the Lord. He waited on the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And then when it came time, at the end, when his companions were miserable counselors to him, that God required of them, and it was so that Job prayed for them. Job in his godliness, Job in his good ways, he prayed for his counselors with whom God was displeased. Think of Joseph, another godly man. In all situations, wherever he was, whether he was living at home with his father and getting that coat of many colors, or when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, or when he was in Potiphar's house, or in jail, or in the house of the Pharaoh, he always was a godly man. Always godly. It didn't appear that way at first, accused of being untoward toward Potiphar's wife and all types of things, being sold into slavery, but he was found to be godly man, a godly man. And so now again, the scriptures are speaking to us in this evening hour, verse number 8, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable unto all things. We know that when we exercise ourselves in godly ways, in ways that please the Lord, it will be well with us. It will go well with us. It will be a good thing. It will be very profitable. And we'll go through scriptures that speak to how profitable godliness is. But if we look at the beginning of this chapter, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So there are those who would be ungodly. So if we look at these words that are here in this first verse, it says that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit is speaking very explicitly or very clearly. And we know that the Holy Spirit speaks in a still small voice. But yet the Holy Spirit here is speaking expressly, very explicitly, very clearly, that all would understand. And he says, the Spirit says, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Some, that's a qualifier, shall depart, meaning they were once part of the faith. And then it says, from the faith, meaning not their faith or a faith, but the faith. Where the Apostle Paul is writing in Ephesians saying that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are no alternates. There are no modified ones. There's just one. And so some shall depart from the faith, and then they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And what do they speak? They speak lies. So the Holy Spirit will speak clearly, explicitly, that some shall depart from the faith, and here are what those who have departed from the faith would speak. They would speak lies. What they would speak would be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. These things have no spiritual value, whether one would be married or not married, whether one would eat meat or whether one would not eat meat. These things are not to be commanded, but the truths that are written and that Jesus Christ himself has spoken. Marrying is good. Eating meat, whether or not we would eat meat, is irrelevant. The Bible says that, the exact wording isn't coming to mind, but it's in Romans 14, verse number 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." This is what the kingdom of God is about. It's not whether or not we would eat meat or whether or not we would drink certain things. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about something much more than that. Much more than that. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost can be obtained whether we're vegetarians or not. Or whether we're single or whether we're married. And so the danger here is that these who depart from the faith, they speak lies, but some of it might sound good. The reasoning behind why some might say to forbid to marry or to command to abstain from meats, it may sound good. It may sound good. But that's a seducing spirit. That's a doctrine of the devil. That's not what the Lord would have. In two chapters later, in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "If any man teach otherwise, other than the things which have been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness that's profitable in all things, then such an individual who is teaching otherwise is proud, he knows nothing, he dotes about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh not good things, but envying, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, having nothing to do with the truth, not knowing the truth, they're destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away." From such turn away. To think that if I have gain and I'm being prosperous, well, then that's godliness. That's not godliness. We read what godliness is here later in this chapter 4 that we read here together this evening. Further, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy again in his second letter that there are, in the last days, perilous times shall come, and it says that some would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And again, from such turn away, have no dealings with them, even as he wrote here in chapter 6 of the 1 Timothy, from such withdraw thyself. So there are relationships that could be had, but would be unprofitable. Unprofitable. They're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, not teaching the things of Jesus Christ. And from such, withdraw thyself. Every creature of God is good, and it's to be received with thanksgiving. It's sanctified by the word of God, and it's sanctified by prayer. It's good. It's good. And then he says, and he's speaking to Timothy, and he left Timothy, we read that in the first chapter, that he left Timothy in Ephesus, that he might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And so the Apostle Paul was instructing young Timothy, you're to teach. You're a young leader now, and you are to teach, and you are also to command that no other doctrine be taught. And that if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up, meaning fed properly, having a good understanding, a solid foundation, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, not doctrine of devils, good doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine that he brought forth on the Sermon of the Mount, the doctrines that he brought forth in all the parables that he spoke, those good doctrines, if young Timothy and if we are nourished up in these words of faith and of good doctrine, we will be good servants of the Lord. Good servants of the Lord. And that godliness that we would exercise in us would be profitable. And as it says here further on, that profiting may appear unto all. We want to live godly lives. Godly lives, because it's profitable in all things, in everything. There are some things we engage in and some activities or other things that we find in the end that wasn't very profitable. That wasn't very profitable. But if we exercise ourselves in godliness, it's profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so, those that would be godly would be much like King Asa was, would be much like Job was, would be much like Joseph was. And they would do these things that the Apostle Paul has written here in this chapter. And I want to briefly mention these as we go through down through these rest of these verses. Those that would be godly are nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Nourished up. Words of faith. Words of having a faith and believing as those that were recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received a good report through faith. And so we are to be nourished up. We are to be fed. We are to be built up in that which is of good doctrine, words of faith. Words of faith. We've obtained that. We've attained that. We've come to that. And then we refuse profane and old wives' fables. And we recognize that bodily exercise is good. That's a good thing, bodily exercise. But it's for, and it's good because we are the temple of the living God, our bodies are, but it's only temporal in nature. This dust shall return to dust at some point. And so it's profitable, but only a little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so those that are godly labor and trust the living God. Those that are godly labor, they minister, they serve, they help, they are used, they spend, they are spent, they labor, and they trust in the living God. And should it be that they suffer reproach, so be it. But there is a trust in the living God, because he is the Savior of all men. Because there is profit in that which is in godliness, even in the life of which is to come. He's the Savior of all men. Those that are godly would be an example of the believers. King Asa was a good example to other kings. The kings that were subsequent to him would recognize, oh, King Asa got rid of the idolatry out of the land. And he brought back in worship, back into the temple. And so many of us, we remember Job, and we remember his patience. And so we are to be an example of the believers. And here he states six things in which to be an example of the believers. This is living a godly life, and this is profitable in all things. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Conversation meaning in our conduct, in everything of our conduct. However we do things, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Do all these things, be an example of a believer in all these things. They that will live godly will give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Those who will live godly will love God's word and will be partakers of that. We were reminded of that last Sunday. We give attendance to it, meaning we are there. The Bible's open. We love the word. We're going to open it. We're going to read it. We're going to read this passage and then note that it takes me to another passage. And there's a good golden nugget there. And then we go and we read another verse. And that leads us to it more. And we give attendance then to reading. And then we as it says here in verse number 15, meditate upon these things. So we're giving attendance to reading, to doctrine, to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And then we meditate on these things. This is living a godly life. Verse number 14. Neglect not the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has been given unto us to teach us, to admonish us, to comfort us, to guide us in the way of truth, to guide us in that good doctrine, not the doctrine of devils, but in that good doctrine, the good doctrine of Jesus Christ. Again, the doctrine where Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, in the parables, in all where Jesus spoke, that we would meditate upon these things. And in this, we can live out a godly life. And we would not be neglecting that gift of the Holy Ghost within us. And he says, which was given unto thee by prophecy. It's been said of time of old. And there were those from time of old who desired to look into these things. And this was the mystery that was now being revealed, that it's Christ in us. The Godhead within us. So we are not to neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was given by the laying on of the hands of the church leadership. Again, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. If we recognize that, God wants me to be a believer in charity, in love, well, then I have to give myself wholly unto these things. And then we take heed unto ourselves. Take heed to ourselves. I have an errant thought. If I act on it, if I say what I'm thinking, and this thought is wrong, then I'm not going to be a good example. So I need to take heed to myself and to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I'd like to step through some other verses that speak to godliness and about how godliness is profitable unto all things. If we go again to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse number 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a great gain when we have godliness and we're content with what the Lord has. If we, by God's grace, are able to get 2 talents with the 2 talents that have been given to us, that's a good gain. If we, by God's grace, are able to get 10 talents with the 10 talents that have been given to us, that's a good gain. But if we, by God's grace, can walk in godliness and obtain a 30 or 60 or 100-fold gain, then that's a great gain. That's a great gain. Not a good gain, a great gain. It's profitable. Godliness is profitable unto all things. And so godliness with contentment is a great gain. If we're content with the gifts that God has given unto us, if we're content with a lot in life that God has given unto us, and we exercise ourselves in godliness, that's a great gain. That's a great gain, meaning that there's nothing more. There's not a greater gain that we can have than this. This is what the Lord is calling us to. The Apostle Paul is writing to another young leader in the church, in Titus, and he says in chapter 2, verse number 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Those pair together. Ungodliness and worldly lust. Those pair together. Godliness and forsaking this world pair together. So teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is how we should live. Godly in this present world. There's going to be a great prophet. A great prophet in this life and in the life to come. Living a godly life is not wasted. Not one godly deed will be wasted. So this is what the Word of God teaches us. And the grace of God teaches us that when we deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Apostle Peter also had some things to write about godliness. In his second epistle, he writes in verse number 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto virtue and glory." How do we get godliness? How do we obtain godliness? We want to live a godly life. As Solomon did, as others have, Job, Joseph, they lived godly lives. How are we able to live godly lives? It's given here in this verse. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness is given to us by the divine power of God, the divine power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we read together, that neglect not the gift that was given unto thee by the laying on of hands. Don't neglect the power of the Holy Spirit. It will give you the power to become godly and to live a godly life. And then he says, further down, Peter here in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, give all diligence. Give all diligence, meaning work hard. So it's the divine power is given unto us, has given unto us godliness, but yet our response needs to be that we give all diligence. Give all diligence. That we would labor in his kingdom, that we would be wholly sold out to him, that whatever he would have for us to do, that we would do it, that we would give all diligence, painstaking effort, doing what the Lord would have us to do, being kingdom builders, laboring in the kingdom of God. So we give all diligence, we would then add to our virtue, our faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exercise yourself unto godliness. It's profitable in all things. When we exercise ourselves in godliness, we have a promise. We have a promise from the Lord that he will deliver us out of temptation. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So if we live godly lives, he empowers us, he gives us his divine power to live godly lives. And when we do, and we yield ourselves to this godliness, and we yield ourselves to the gift and to the power of the Holy Spirit, and we meditate upon his words because we are attending to his word, then the Lord delivers us out of temptations. This is the Lord's doing. This is the power of God. Then he says here, Peter in 2 Peter, now in the last chapter, chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything we see will be gone. It'll all be gone one day. It will melt. It will all be burned up. Everything we know, our workplaces, our home, our cars, this building here, all things that we've ever seen or ever known, it will all be burned up. Nothing left. It will be burned up. So, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, everything's going to be gone, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And godliness. There's a great day coming. The Lord will come in the power of his angels. The clouds will part, and the Lord will come, and everything that we know will be burned up. And so there's a great day coming. And so since that great day is coming, and everything is going to be dissolved, we ought to be in godliness. We ought to be walking in godliness. We ought to be an example of the believers. We ought to meditate on his words after we've been partakers of his word. I appreciated the hymn that we opened the service with, 297. It says, we read here, we're saying here in verse number 4, his goodness daily feeds us and doth our hearts sustain. This is his divine power that keeps us and that gives unto us godliness. Where'er our pathway leads us, we seek him never in vain. If we are walking in godliness, it's not in vain. It's profitable. There's a great gain. It's profitable. So we will never seek him in vain. And then we think that godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. That which is to come. We know that if we've yielded our lives to the Lord, if we've mortified the flesh and the lust thereof, if we've been walking in a godly way, if we've been pleasing him well, that there's a promise of the life to come, that we will be forever with the Lord. And so the last verse here in hymn number 297 says, what there shall be our being, we cannot now esteem, for there we shall be seeing all things as in a dream. There's going to be great promises that will be fulfilled when we walk in godliness. We will see those things which eye has never seen. We will hear those things which ears have never heard. We will behold, we will be in the environment of those things which men has never even imagined. If we walk in godliness, walking in godliness is profitable in all things. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Brothers, we pray.